Yeah, back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast on 3CR, your community radio station. And we've got Jerem Small on the line. G'day, Jerem. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you doing, Annie? And g'day to you and everyone at 3CR.
Yeah, yeah. And we're ringing you because we want to have a chat with you about your success as a socialist alternative candidate in the last Victorian election. That was a very interesting decision to go for that particular effort, wasn't it, amongst socialist alternatives?
Yes, it's definitely something pretty new to me and to and to other members of Socialist Alternative. Of course, we ran with Victorian Socialists, which, you know, Socialist Alternative is heavily involved in, but there's plenty of people, in fact, the majority of our members, would have no particular affiliation with a group. We're a revolutionary group, but you don't have to be a revolutionary to be part of Victorian Socialist or campaign with us or vote for us. You just, if you think that in general, there should be a stronger socialist current in Australian political life, you can be an active part of Victorian Socialist. And across Victoria, more than 50,000 people, more than 52,000 people actually voted for Victorian Socialist in the upper house. And you'd have to go back, I think, to 1944 to find a higher vote for socialist candidates to the left of Labor in the state of Victoria. It's pretty remarkable, really.
It is remarkable. I went through the figures and it showed that there was quite a considered attempt to get socialists into the Senate to have an effect on the conversation. And it defeated the impulse for more reactionary right-wing parties, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess there's two parts of it. I mean, there was a substantial right-wing vote, especially in some of the outer suburban areas where, a motley collection of scientific term I would use is far-right freaks, ranging from Pauline Hanson's One Nation to Clive Palmer's United Australia, the Freedom Party, Family First. If you combine all of them, their upper house vote was actually pretty substantial, up to 10% in some places. But because of the fractured nature of their vote, they didn't end up with all of these seats. I think there definitely is a problem there, and I don't want to downplay it. In Northern Metro, they call themselves the Democratic Labor Party. They appear on the ballot paper as Labor DLP.
Yep.
Put them very firmly in the category of far right freaks. People might be familiar with Bernie Finn, who was too extreme even for the Liberal Party. He's the former member for Western Metro in the upper house. So he got expelled from the Liberal Party, ran as Labor DLP. He didn't win, but his good mate, Adam Somirek, who got chucked out of the Labor Party for the most blatant branch stacking that you can imagine, he ended up, pipping the left at the post in Northern Metro. So he ended up with about 300 primary votes more than me. He got better preference flows, partly from other far-right parties, but also if you voted for the Companion Animals and Pets Party, that effectively ended up being a vote for Adam Somirek. If you voted for the Health Australia Party, that effectively ended up being a vote for Adam Somirek. So, anyway, he got my votes at us, so I can't complain too much. But
but that's an interesting analysis. Yeah, that splintering of groups. I was wondering about who were running all those different groups of people. Because they have these benign names, but unless you actually drill down, you can't tell who's actually running them.
That's right, and it's actually pretty hard to drill down. So unless you do a bunch of research about where the preferences are actually going, you can end up with some pretty strange results. I've got to say, though, that wasn't the only reason that Adam Somirek won. The right vote did go up and return to a situation where there's sort of, broadly speaking, three on the progressive side in Northern Metro. I'm sure you'd be aware the Victorian upper house is elected on a system of multi-member electorates. So Melbourne's divided into a series of electorates in Northern Metro, where I was running. Well, there's five seats, and two went to Labor, one went to Greens, one went to Liberal. That fifth seat has been a bit of a lucky dip. Over the last, 10 or so years, Fiona Patten, of course, had that seat for a couple of elections, but Adam Somirek got ahead of both her and myself. Out of 23 parties, though, like it was a real Melbourne cut field running in the upper house. Out of 23 parties running, I ended up coming fifth, so on primary votes. So Labor, Liberal, Greens, and then Adam Somirek was, I think, about 300 votes ahead, which is pretty remarkable for a socialist electoral effort in Australia in 2020, in any era, actually, for the last period of time. And as well as that, in the West, Liz Walsh from Victorian Socialists actually got closer than me to getting elected at the crucial split with legalised cannabis, ended up with the fifth seat in the West. And at the crucial split, Liz was, I think, about 1,800 votes behind legalised cannabis in an electorate of, I don't know, the legalised cannabis people got 16,000 primary votes, so to be 1,800 votes behind on preferences, we're definitely in the mix for a seat. And there's a bunch of really impressive results in the lower house. Out of everyone who cast a vote in the lower house in the seat of Footscray, we got 9.3%. We got 8% in the state seat of Broadmeadows. So 8% of every single person who voted, voted socialist. In the West, like places which have actually never had a socialist campaign before. I'd be pretty confident in saying that Koroit, which is sort of out towards Melton, has never had a socialist campaign before. We got 6.8% of the vote, 5.9% in Laverton, 8% in Brunswick. I could go through the whole list, but for a pretty small group of upstarts with not a lot, by the way, of resources, but a lot of zeal and the ability to look people in the eye and say, we can do better than this. It's just crazy that the billionaires in this country have doubled their money in a couple of years. So it was according to Oxfam's report last year. We haven't doubled aged care or hospitals or health or anything else. We can do better than this. It's just outrageous. And we're not pretending that vote for us and we can click our fingers and solve every problem, but we're serious about organising the sort of campaigns and the sort of movement that can. And frankly, we're serious about talking about humanity being able to do better than the dog-eat-dog sort of system which is going around at the moment. So pretty encouraging results for that sort of campaign.
Well, they just gave out the information about the returns for Shell but having a profit greater than it's ever had for 115 years. Now, this is a company that's actively destroying the environment.
And you'd see a string of profits like that from international companies like Shell and, Mobil, Exxon and Chevron and so on.
But it's that sort of who's running things for whose benefit? And it's interesting that you were able to get this across to people.
Yeah, it's like, and I think it shows that if you can have a credible election campaign of a big enough size, and we worked incredibly hard. Like we knocked on 190,000 doors. We had more than 700 events, whether that's stalls or meetings or forums or door knocks or you name it. We got a lot of yard signs up. So we presented a credible alternative. It wasn't just a name on a ballot paper that no one had heard of. It was like, oh, yeah, they knocked on my neighbour's door. Oh, yeah, my neighbour's got a yard sign. Or, I got a leaflet in the street. And when you put some sort of fighting alternative based on a basic socialist platform in front of people, pretty great. And some booths, like we got 1 in 5 votes in the booth in Dallas, the uphill booth.
That's really interesting.
Building on some decent results that we've got there in the past in the Broadmeadows area. But out in Koroit, we got, I think, 17.5% at Kings Park, 15% on the booth at Deer Park. three booths in Footscray where we got a vote of 20% or thereabouts.
How, I mean, obviously the socialists are fighting to win. It's not just to proselytise, it's to win. Can you tell me the next time round, is there going to be a further push, and is there going to be a real strategic thought around preferences?
There definitely will be. Victorian Socialists will definitely be running in the next state election, and look out for us in any sort of contest before then as well. We also plan to, partly it was COVID and partly, we were a bit new to it all. So Victorian Socialists, after the 2018 state and 2019 federal election, didn't do as much as what we would have liked. We're pretty conscious that we want to fix that this time around. So we've already had, we want socialism, and to some extent we've already achieved it, to be part of the political mix in Australia, to normalise the fact that there's a socialist party out there. So part of that is having an ongoing life. So we've got organising meetings coming up this week that people can find on our Facebook page, just talking about what we can do to keep things ticking over, whether that's street stalls, involvement in campaigns, contingents at rallies. We had a good show at the Invasion Day rally, for instance. We've already had a forum with the Indigenous socialist Oscar Martin in Footscray and up in Coburg. So we're pretty keen to keep things ticking over. And we'll see what position we're in, hopefully an even stronger position next time around. And we're pretty serious about rebuilding a socialist movement in this country. We think that socialists have a lot to contribute, and have contributed a lot over many years to particular campaigns, to rebuilding unions, standing up against all of the injustices of the world, and to rebuilding a movement that has as its very clear aim, actually achieving socialism. Now, that's the big goal. There's a million little steps towards that, and we think that getting someone into Parliament would be one of those steps that would raise the profile and credibility of the socialist movement in this country and help to kick things along in all sorts of ways.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Jerome. And I really am annoyed that you didn't get in. I'd have loved that, and Liz as well.
Channel that annoyance. We'll need all the help we can get. Obviously, in the state election in 4 years, let multi-member electorates, give us the best chance of getting someone in and shaking politics up. But also, in the many weeks and months and years before then, we don't just want to pop up every 4 years and say, hey, remember us.
We want
to be part of people's, weekly and monthly lives. So check it, our website is there. It's a little bit out of date. We're sort of scrambling to get moving again. But you can check our Facebook or Twitter, and there's a bit happening on that about what's coming up. Thanks heaps, Annie. Thanks for the opportunity, and cheers. Happy New Year to everyone at 3CR, and see you on the streets, no doubt.